Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to A Christian Manifesto Today, episode number 40. My name is Daniel White III, president of Torch Leadership Foundation, pastor and Christian philosopher Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer warned us and created the war plan for us that we as Christians need today to deal with a society, a world that is increasingly moving away from God, the Holy Bible, and moral principles. He wrote A Christian Manifesto nearly 40 years ago, and its words are just as relevant today as they were back then. Our Christian Manifesto Today passage from the Word of God is Acts chapter 5, verse 29, which reads, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Our Christian Manifesto Today quote is from Dr. Melvin Tinker. He said, "Secularism is the process whereby God and religion are pushed to the margins of life and so make no significant contribution at all to the policies and values adopted by society. By and large, politics and education carry on as if God were not there." Dear friends, in this podcast we are using as our text A Christian Manifesto by Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer. Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer writes in An Open Window, Part 8, "We might differ as to what the ruling should be in some of these cases," as we continue from last time, "but that does not change the weight of the whole. It should be said that it is not only Protestants who are facing the implications of the above list, but Roman Catholics and Jews as well. And for Christians who are in the habit of drifting complacently, a case presently before the courts should be a loud-sounding alarm bell. As I write, Samuel E. Erickson, an attorney at law, is defending Grace Community Church, the largest Protestant church in Los Angeles County, in a clergyman malpractice suit. This suit was brought by parents because the pastors of that church cared for their son who had later committed suicide. Instead of turning him over to professional psychiatric and psychological care, obviously, if the church lost this case, all religions would be greatly affected. In fact, anyone who tried to help someone with questions or fears could be sued if he or she did not fall under the category of professional psychiatric and psychological competence. And to make matters more complicated, no one has thought how to set standards acceptably for professional psychiatric and psychological competence. Samuel Erickson has put the case in the proper perspective when, in a letter to me dated May 1, 1981, he wrote, "I believe that clergyman malpractice, or more accurately, spiritual counseling malpractice, is going to present the secular courts with a head-on clash between the two competing worldviews, secularism and Christianity. Should not all of us be thinking what to do about it if the window does shut? The Christian theologians, the educators, the lawyers, the evangelical leadership have not had a very good record in the past of seeing things as a whole. That is, they have not seen the contrast between the consensus, which is based on there being a lawgiver, and what that naturally brings forth, and the totally different material energy, chance, worldview of reality, and what that naturally brings forth. Now, if we have not run very well in the past with the footman when it has been so very easy, I wonder what is going to happen to us if we have to run with the horseman. What will protect us from what is happening in most of the world today? Have we run with the footman very, very poorly? What happens if we must run with the horseman?" Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will begin looking at the topic of the limits of civil obedience in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the mercy and grace and blessings you bestowed upon this country called America down through the years. But Lord, as even Dr. Schaefer was sounding the alarm back then, Lord, we realize and we understand that we have sinned against you as your people, and we need to repent. And we pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves, and to get back to you, Lord Jesus. Get back to you, our first love. Revive us again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're listening today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can trust Christ as Savior today and be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, please accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually because of sin and are separated from God in a place called hell. Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean, wicked, hateful people and murderers and whoremongers. You know what a murderer is. You know what a whoremonger is. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and idolaters. People who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, I am sure you know what a liar is, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, this is bad news, but here is the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you because you are in this world. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ." He was speaking of himself. "That whosoever," that word "whosoever" is an old English word that means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," that is, has faith in, trusts in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God forever. Dear friend, just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. It goes on, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. Do it right now. Until next time, my beloved, please continue to stand for the Lord and his word. God bless you.